team, and welcome to episode 2 of the Patch Podcast, where we talk all things people and culture. Today, joining me, I have Hugh Sykes, our New South Wales State Manager and Head of Research and Development at Corporate Challenge Events. Hugh, how are you doing?
I'm well, thanks, Dwayne. How are you?
Yeah, mate, I'm good, thanks. Looking forward to what we're going to dig into and having covered off on what positive team culture means in episode 1. The idea of a fumish environment. Today, obviously, we'd like to dig a little deeper and introduce the actual how through the three E's of creating a positive team culture. So I am looking forward to getting into the application and giving people some real tools they can go away with and use following this podcast and moving forward to start to see some change and some positive change within their organisation. So what have you been up to?
I just live in the dream, really.
Excellent. Nice to hear. So, look, the three E's of a positive team culture. I'm not sure whether anybody has seen that funny little infographic that was created. We have obviously a legend in Albert Einstein, and he created MC squared equals MC squared. We at Corporate Challenge Events, we believe that a positive team culture equals E to the power of three. And those three E's stand for engagement, education, and environment. So what we'd like to do today is to actually take you through each of those steps, what they mean, and give you a couple of tips to walk away with, as I mentioned, and actually apply immediately within your organisation. So, Hugh, I might start with you, and we're going to look at engagement first. Would you like to explain to the audience and to our listeners exactly what engagement means?
Engagement, well, basically we worked on a definition for each of these and what it means within an organisation. So, I mean, what we've come up with is engagement is being involved and invested in the team you are in. And it requires an attentive focus and an active willingness to work towards the goals of the team. So,
engagement is really about the connectedness. Would you say about the connectedness of your team at any particular time?
Yeah, absolutely. The connectedness, and it is all about being connected with your team. I mean, no matter what kind of work environment that you're in, if you have a team that you can engage with, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to get through what you need to do. I mean, you can have a rubbish, boring, mundane task that you need to complete as a team, but if you're there together and you can still engage with each other, you can still make it a positive experience for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, when we're talking about connectedness and being involved and invested in each other, and these three principles apply in no matter what environment we find ourselves today, obviously in this this new world where we're actually not allowed to be within 1.5 meters of each other, but and in many cases and in many organizations we're actually not even in some places, well, you and I for example right now, we're not even in the same state. It doesn't mean that we can't become engaged, and that's not from a wedding perspective, because your wife probably wouldn't be too happy with that.
No.
But yes, it doesn't mean that we can't be engaged and have a culture that is going to help us work positively together towards the same goal. So
yeah, that's why I also dislike this social distancing word. It should be physical distancing.
Yeah.
You can still be socially engaged and should be socially engaged with each other. Not only in your work environment at the moment, but within your personal life as well. Otherwise, you're going to go mental.
That's a very good point.
I much prefer physical distancing as the word for the times that we're in.
Yeah, I agree. No, very good point. So let's look at three strategies around how people can become engaged. One of my favorites. And I talk about this whenever I'm running one of these programs with organisations. And I always, it was one that, you were there, Hugh, when probably 18 months ago, our team got together and we were actually talking about the fact that we are in so many remote locations. So, you know, prior to this forced physical distancing, we were already physical distanced because we have, you know, yourselves in New South Wales, and obviously we've got Queensland, the Victorian team, WA and Auckland. And one of our challenges that we've always had was how do we actually bring that physical distance or reduce that physical distance and bring ourselves closer to each other. And, you know, through a bit of brainstorming and throwing around the ideas, I think this is one that that many people can apply. And as I mentioned earlier, certainly in these times, and it's the idea of creating a Facebook or a WhatsApp group with your team. As many people know, and we'll touch on one of our big philosophies that we practice here at Corporate Challenge is the fish philosophy, and choosing your attitude of how you're going to come into every day is really important. A strategy around doing that for many organisations, for many people that are walking into the stay in same office, is to have a whiteboard at the front door, and as people walk in, they write up on the board exactly the attitude they're going to choose for that day, which gives them a stop point to reframe before they move into the office. And our idea, created by the team, obviously, was to create this Facebook and WhatsApp group. And we don't have a whiteboard that we're passing each day, but we've got this digital device that we can pick up every morning, and we can post and say, this is how I'm feeling and what I'm looking forward to, and the attitude that I'm going to choose for that day. And I think that's worked well, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it just that little bit of extra connection that, I mean, you know, there's some of the team for a lot of the time are in the office by themselves. So,
yeah,
you know, just a quick little message from someone that morning, you know, can just completely change their outlook on the day. Another thing as well is having that there and engaging with it every single day. Yeah. Keeps you accountable as well. So you see other people doing it. Oh, geez, I've really dropped the ball here. I better get, you know, back onto it, get back into it if you maybe miss a day or whatever. And, you know, it's there. And, you know, I think accountability is big for anything really. But this, it just helps you keep yourself and everyone else accountable for, you know, that little bit of extra touch point that we sometimes need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other important factor that people miss in something is as simple as this is that if you are feeling a bit flat, but you still commit to putting up there, people can actually pick up on it. You know, even though it's not verbal, you know, if you're using a word that's not normally as positive as you normally would be, people can pick up that you're having a bit of a flat day. Yes, you might be doing your best to actually consciously, you know, give yourself some kind of positive reinforcement to move forward in the day with, but others can pick up that it's not normal and it's abnormal for you, and then reach out to actually help lift you through that. And that's an important part of obviously engaging and becoming more engaged with each other. And as we've said, connecting.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and silence is deafening sometimes.
Correct. That's probably even more key. If nothing comes up and you've been a regular contributor, there's some a red flag there, certainly. All right. Would you like to give us another strategy to help engage your team?
Well, something that we have done for a long time as well, obviously being in remote locations, you know, Zoom has been and whatever other online platforms organizations have been using recently, may have been new to them, not new to us. It's something that you can really, really use face-to-face or remotely, is a weekly catch-up, huddle, get-together, scrum, whatever it is, whatever you call it, and actually, you know, sit down together, have a chat, talk about what's going on, and really engage with each other, and also what you have and need to do over the next week or whatever it is. So that's, again, it doesn't have to be long. I mean, I know a lot of people would be a little bit hesitant to do something like this on a week-to-week basis because, you know, oh, I don't have the time to, you know, sit in another half-hour meeting or whatever it is. It doesn't have to be half an hour. It could be 10 minutes.
Yep.
I think a lot of the time people overthink some things. And you know, if you keep it simple, then it could be a really effective strategy to get together and engage with each other.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, there's a couple of different things. Obviously, you're talking about a weekly team meeting. It can be that you know there may be a new question I had from a client recently was, well, how in this new world that we're in at the moment, how are we going to engage our new employees? Who are actually coming in and they're actually never getting to meet everybody face to face. Obviously, Zoom is a great platform for that. But I said, well, what about using a concept like the buddy system, where what you do is you say to somebody, and I say to you, hey, Hugh, we've got little Johnny, who's our new staff member, and he's come on board. Can I just get you this week to commit to catching up once or twice a day, whether it be for morning tea or for lunch, and just take the time and the effort via Zoom to actually get to know him, get him to know you, and then maybe at the end of the week, which is another one of our little strategies, is maybe during a book or a wine club that you're having at the end of the week I know that's one of our favourites, Hugh, and get everybody together and then share something that you've learned about each other for the week, because we all have so many depths and layers to ourselves, and being able to share that with each other certainly helps to increase the connectedness and the engagement with each other. So if you had to pick your favorite way of engaging with our team, what would you say, Hugh?
Oh, well, definitely, when it is possible, that is actually physically getting together.
Yep.
Mid-year conferences, Christmas parties, hands down, favorite way to engage with everyone. It is when we do get together, it's like we see each other every day.
Yeah.
We pick up where we left off last time, and it's a hell of a lot of fun.
We should never underestimate the value of engagement.
Yeah.
It really is a powerful tool for bringing team together and getting the most out of people.
So. Yeah, for sure. And it doesn't have to be within a work environment either. I mean, you look at so many people who've got so many interests and so many hobbies, running, cycling, like you said, Wednesday nights for your wine clubs, your book clubs.
Yep.
There's so many things that you can do to engage with everybody. It's just being able to find what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, we better keep moving. I know you and I could continue and talk all day around this. And for our listeners, we should let them know that this entire program and what we're talking about over these six episodes has been developed into a workshop. A 3 to 4 hour workshop that we can take your team through. So certainly if you're wanting to dig deeper and have one of us come and work with your team to dig deeper, we can certainly do that as well. So let's move on to the second E of creating a positive team culture, and that is education. Now, one of my favorite sayings, this is a quote that I read many years ago, and it's a quote from a CFO to a CEO, and he says, what if we train our staff and they leave? And the CEO responds, what if we don't and they stay? And this really couldn't probably summarize the importance and the power of continually upskilling your people, both in hard skills, and I'm going to introduce a concept here that I prefer. A lot of people go hard and soft skills. I'm going to say hard skills and human skills. And, really what we're going to focus on, I suppose, today, Hugh, is how do we educate and upskill our team on the human skills? And let's dig straight into that one. What's one of your favorites?
Oh, one of my favorites is definitely personality profiling.
Yeah.
I love it. In whatever shape or form, whether it's, I'm a people watcher. I love just sitting down at Circular Quay when I'm on a program and just sitting there watching people is one of my favorite things to do. It's just, it's a what you can get from just watching the way people behave and act is just amazing.
Yeah.
And actually putting some science behind it is great within a work environment, because you can really get down into the nitty gritty of, you know, this is this person, this is why they perhaps act, respond in a certain way. You know, for them, you know, just for someone with a really strong, headstrong personality, you know, the 5-word email, that's just their way of communicating, as opposed to some people who will sit there and write, you know, they will turn each of those 5 words into a paragraph and write a 5-paragraph email. And, you know, the person who says the 5 words goes, well, that's just a waste of time. Why do you write so much? And the other person on the other end is, why are they being so rude and so blunt? That's just the way they operate. That's just the way their brains work. And that's just how they go about things. And, you know, really learning about what your team is about, what makes them tick, is so important. And it's I find it really enjoyable as well.
Yeah. And I think it actually transforms the connection. I mean, at the end of the day, much of what we're talking about is relationships and how to build relationships to get higher performance. And if you understand more about what makes each other tick, and why in a certain situation I'm going to respond in a certain way and you're going to respond in a different way, there's no right and wrong. It's just that we're different people. And you're right, it really has a powerful impact on how your team actually work together. So and the other thing that I find, you know, in talking to people, is a lot of people have had different experiences. There's so many profiling tools on the market. I mean, I know you know, we've spoken about this before, but you know, you've got profiling tools that will determine you by 4 different fruits. You've got profiling tools that will determine you by 4 different colors. You've got profiling tools that will determine that are more scientific, like your Myers-Briggs, which many people have heard about. You've got your DISC profiling, obviously one that that we prefer to use, which is Belbin Team Profiles, mainly obviously due to the fact that it's a team profiling tool as well as an individual profiling tool. And in fact, on the Patch website, in the toolkit, we also have a free resource that people can use to use with their team, and it's called the Dope Test, where it profiles you based on a bird, a dove, an owl, a peacock, or an eagle. So anybody listening, if you want to use that, it's a free tool. You can go to the toolkit, download it, use it with your team, and it's a really, really simple and fun way. We've done it internally ourselves, and it's a fun way that you can identify what bird each of the people that you work with are, and therefore why do they respond and react in certain ways. So yeah, look, you're right, Hewitt, it really is a powerful a really, really powerful tool to have. My look, there's so many things, and I don't want to sound like I'm selling, because I'm certainly not. What I want people to understand is that on the Patch there's so many resources, and again, in our toolkit section, you can download our ebook, and everything that we're talking about within this is detailed. And one of my favorites under educating and upskilling the human skill element of your people is the fish philosophy. It's something that I did touch on in episode 1. It's something that we practice on a daily basis, and I really can't I can't reinforce enough how those 4 simple practices can transform not just your team, but each individual's life, because they're skills for life. They're not just skills for working together as a team. And those 4, if you haven't heard of the fish philosophy before, I know you've had this mentioned to you millions of times by me, Hugh, over the last 10 years, but choosing your attitude, making someone's day, being present, and learning how to play at work. And, one of the key things around this concept and many of these concepts, and I've said it and I'll keep saying it, because I'm a big believer in this, they are all very simple. They're very simple in concept, but simple in concept doesn't mean simple in practice. It does take work, and but if you work on them, they can give you powerful results. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's all about, you know, knowledge is king.
Yeah.
So that's what education is all about. So actually having the knowledge there is the first step to being able to put into practice. So if you don't know about these things, it's going to be a heck of a lot tougher to get them into practice than if you do know about them. So like knowledge of these things before anything else. And then, yeah, they are simple.
Yeah.
You know, when you run these programs, people come back and go, well, that's so easy. Like, why don't I do this already? And it's like, well, because, you know, it's not front of mind. When you bring it to front of mind, then all of a sudden you see the change.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the beauty of the Fish philosophy is in the last 12 to 18 months, Chart House in America have actually released a new Fish online course. So obviously in large-scale organisations where you've got hundreds of people, it's hard to actually take them all through a Fish experience program to fully understand it. What you can actually now do is take your leadership team through the Fish Experience and the Fish for Leaders program, but have everybody understand the concept through an online course so that they then know exactly what the leadership team are trying to are preaching and trying to roll out. So let's maybe look at one more. Like I said, I'm bearing in mind that you and I can keep talking about these things forever. So give me one more, Hugh. Good. One more way of upskilling the human skills of your team.
I think I mentioned it in episode one, and that's knowing and finding your why and the why of the organisation. So knowing why we do what we do, not only as an individual, but as you can do it on so many levels.
Yeah.
Why do I do what I do as an individual level? Why do I do what I do within the team that I'm in within the company, and why does the company do what they do?
Yeah.
When you actually know and understand why, then the things around you start seeing things in a whole different view, basically.
Yeah.
So I think knowing the why, and then that sort of leads into also, you know, your visions, goals and values as well. They sort of go hand in hand.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to put you on the spot now, Hugh. For our listeners,
go on.
And, we did a Y session ourselves about 12 months ago when we had a mid-year conference in King Lake, and we came up with the corporate challenge Y statement.
We did.
Can you recite the corporate challenge Y statement for me?
Probably not word for word, but it was
<That's> okay.
It was something along the lines of we create fun and engaging experiences. What was it for?
To create fun experiences so that others can feel valued,
that's right.
Yeah,
valued and connected. Yeah.
And you're right. And look, I know you and I are we are amazing fans of Simon Sinek. And those that are listening that know of Simon, he is an absolutely brilliant mind in this space. And those that don't know of Simon, I'm going to tell you to go and Google him. Sinek is S-I-N-E-K. There are so many short and long clips that you can see all over YouTube. This is only one of his concepts, but it is a very powerful one. And, you know, I mentioned that Fish will transform your life. If you actually can take the time to sit down and understand your own why, and connect that with your organization's why. It goes a long way to achieving what you suggested in episode one, Hugh, and that is that getting out of bed on a Monday morning is not a hard thing because it's just another day of the week. And and really that's you know, that's what we're all trying to strive for and we all look for. So, all right, let's move on to our final E in creating a positive team culture. And that is our environment. What do we mean when we talk about environment, Hugh?
All right. We'll go straight to the definition.
Yep.
Okay. Workplace environment is the everyday workplace for each individual within your business, whether it's an office, outdoor location, vehicle, or even online. So that's the straight out definition of environment. But that's obviously you and I both know that there's a hell of a lot more to environment than just that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, in this current environment that we're living with COVID, at the moment. It, you know, for many people, it might be their kitchen table, it might be their lounge room table, it might be their bedside table. You know, it could be their vehicle. It could be environment is the not just the place that you're turning up to work every day, but it's how you're turning up inside your mind every day when you go to work. So let's maybe have a quick look at three strategies around environment and helping your team with their environment on a day-to-day basis. Hugh, give us one.
My favorite is, well, I've got a couple, but I'm going to just go straight out to music. Music is huge for me.
Yep.
And
I think even though we might not all necessarily enjoy your choice of music.
No. You do. Correct. Correct. That's right. It's lucky you're in Melbourne and I'm in Sydney then. So that's correct. Fine.
That's right.
But music is huge for me. I've always got it playing in the office, at home, wherever I am. I've pretty much got music on all the time. And it just creates sort of a nice, safe environment to be in when you've got that. Yeah. And I know there has been research done as well, but that music does help your productivity as well. So as long as you listen to the right type of music, then yeah, your productivity can benefit from listening to music within the office. Absolutely. Or wherever you're working.
Absolutely. And look, one of my favourite strategies here, and I know people, you know, have heard this time and time and time again because it's been going around since the days of Norm and Life Be In It, and it's exercise and nutrition. And maybe one thing that, and it's certainly talking to many people over the last 10 to 12 weeks of COVID, I think one of the things that COVID has created that has been positive is this realisation for people that because they are working from home, they might start a little bit earlier and then go out for a walk in the middle of the day. They're getting some more exercise. Exercise is releasing the endorphins. They're becoming more productive. They're getting fitter. They're getting healthier. And they're feeling better. And, you know, again, we talked about environment not just being the place that you're turning up to, but it's how you're turning up. And when you are fitter and you're healthier, you do turn up better. And you can perform. I mean, we know it from just looking at everybody knows it from looking at a sports, you know, at sports teams that the fitter teams last longer. They're the ones that are there at the end of the game still outputting at a higher level. It's no different to a work team, is it? You know, if you're fitter, if you're healthier, then as we fatigue, which we all do, you still manage to be able to put out at a better level. So,
yeah, and that's something I've always... Exercise has been a big part of my life too, and it's always been if you're physically fit, you're mentally fit as well.
Yeah.
So if you do have that, you know, those high levels of fitness or well-being, then yeah, you're going to be more switched on and sharper mentally as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And maybe one more.
I think you said it earlier. It's like how you're. It's not just the physical space, it's also the mental space that you're in as well.
Yep.
So a bit of a follow-on from what we're just talking about, being, you know, healthy physically, you're healthy mentally as well.
Yeah.
But it's also how you turn up into the office that day as well. I mean, something for me is dressing for the day that you need to have.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm in the warehouse prepping for events,
yep,
I'm not going to be in business pants and, you know, I'm not going to be in business attire. I'm going to be in a polo shirt, shorts and runners.
Yep.
But if I'm going to go, if I need to have a day in front of the computer with whatever it is, I'm going to be in my business clothes, you know. And especially that's something that I think people have missed a lot at this time as well, is you just roll out of bed, chuck on your trackies and a T-shirt and you're at the office. Are you really at the office? You're just at home and you're working.
Yeah.
So I think that's got a really big, it certainly impacts me a lot.
Yeah.
Turning up how I dress for the day that I need to have.
Correct. Absolutely.
And that's all about the headspace you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're so right. I mean, you know, us turning up to the office, even, you know, if we're not seeing clients for the day, we can be in a shorts and t-shirt. But is that putting us in the right mindset for what we need to sit down and do? And if we're going to be talking to clients all day, it actually changes your mindset. And that's I suppose, the beauty of this concept and this theory that we've created. That really, you know, that I love about it is it's not like all of these things are independent. They all overlap. I mean, you know, we're talking about creating mindset. You then can roll that back into upskilling the human skills of your people and getting them to understand the difference between a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And this is what we're creating, and this is how these things all overlap. And again, I'm going to say it again, they're not complicated. They're simple concepts, but being able to grasp them and practice them is a real skill, and actually has a real ability for transformation of organisations and cultures alike. So
absolutely.
Hey, look, I just want to say thanks again for joining me today, Hugh. Hopefully,
pleasure as always,
listeners. Hopefully, you have all enjoyed our second dig into creating a positive team culture and the three E's of how to do that. As already mentioned, remember you can head into the toolkit section of our Patch website, which is www.corporatechallenge.com.au/thepatch. If you go into the toolkit section, you can download the ebook. It goes into 30 detailed strategies around how you can engage your people, you can educate and upskill the human element of your people, and help them work with their environment. So thank you all again for joining us, and look forward to seeing you in episode 3, where we're going to dig deeper into the fumish part of creating a positive team culture. Thanks, team, and we'll see you all next time.